Okay, after discussing who, what Reish Lakish is going to use with this pasuk, Rav Yochanan with this pasuk, we finished our argument. Now we're going to just go back and hone in on Reish Lakish. Remember, we're trying to determine what's the source that a person who is not pure cannot eat kachim. So he did a pasuk by when a woman gives birth to a child, and it says, "Bechol kodesh lo tiga," in all holy things you cannot touch. And we already brought out the point, but he's saying you can't eat, you learned from that, even though it says you cannot touch. We'll get to that right soon. Okay, but anyway, that was the source. The other rabbi didn't want to use that source because he said that's talking about truma. It's not talking about kachim. So again, Reish Lakish has said, how do we know that there's a warning that you cannot eat kachim? He learns it from the pasuk of the Yoledes, where Torah says she cannot touch kachim. Good. Anyway, no matter, that's what he says. Gemara now asks, how could he say that that pasuk is coming to teach you about eating kachim when we're going to look at another brisa where he argues on Rabbi Yochanan? He says that that very same pasuk is coming to teach you cannot touch kachim. So what is it, eating or touching? You can't learn two things from one pasuk. That was the question we asked yesterday. So for Reish Lakish, I'm just repeating the question now. Hi, b'chol kodesh lo tiga lahachi hudasa. Are you telling me that the pasuk of she shall not touch any sacred food is coming to warn us against eating sacrificial foods? Ha'umi boy lele tame shenaga b'kodesh. He uses it to teach us that a tame person can't touch kodesh, and therefore what happens when you touch it? You contaminate it, and the Torah prohibits you to defile kachim. Okay, stamazoy, if I'm a tame mace and I decide to touch this cup, I can do it if I want to, because this cup, so it'll have to go to the mikveh or something. That's not an avera if I touch something and make it tame. But if I touch kachim and make it tame, then we got to throw it out. You can't eat it. That's a separate avera. You're destroying kachim. Okay, so he says the source is from, he's going to say the same place, the Itmar, because we learn in a brisa of the following, this very case of Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh, of a person, Tamei person, touches Kodshim food, Reish Lakish, Oimer Loike, he says you get lashed. And Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, ain't no luck, you don't get lashed. You're not allowed to do it, but you don't get lashed. Mm-hmm. So now you need a source, Reish Lakish. How do you know you get lashed? What's the source that the brisa says? Reish Lakish, I am a loike. Reish Lakish says you get lashed. Because now he quotes the same pasuk we've been using all along. Bechol kodesh lo tiga, all holy foods you may not touch. So he's clearly learning that pasuk, you cannot touch holy foods. That's a love. You can't touch kachim. Rav Yochanan says, "Ainul, you don't get lashed because what did he use that pasuk for already? Hahu asar l'trumahus. That's only coming for truma. Maybe you could say you can't touch truma. Okay, truma you can't defile. We know anything about kachim." Okay, so here's the question. We see that Reish Lakish uses the verse, she shall not touch any sacred food, to warn a tummy against touching sacrificial food. How can he use that same verse to warn against eating sacrificial foods? Okay, that's the question. How could you learn two separate things from one pasuk? That's the question. Clear?
Yep.
All right? So he's going to answer, you can. And the reason we're going to do it is, it's going to two parts. It's going to be, let's look at the entire pasuk and look at what this lav is connected with, which will force us to understand it not according to the simple pshat. We will take this slowly. It's only five words, the answer, with at least 5 minutes of explanation on the five words. So the answer is, Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh. How do I know? You want to know, how do I learn two things? I'll tell you. Number one, how do you know Tamei touches Kodesh? Well, that's what the Pasuk says. That's what the Pasuk says. Meda afka rachmona b'loshen negia. The Torah says, you shall not touch. So that's pretty straightforward. That you can't have any questions. As long as I'm learning it's about kachim and not about truma, and I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm learning about kachim, it's saying you cannot touch kachim. Okay, good. Where do you get eating from? That's the real, and that has been a problem all along from the get-go. How did he, from 2 days ago, how did he learn from the, you can't eat kachim when it says you don't touch? So now we're going to know what he meant all along, what we should have explained 2 days ago, how he derived it. And I said, hold on, hold on. Now it's going to come. So listen carefully. Azhara la'ochel, where's the warning in the same words for eating? From the very same words, I want to learn a warning from eating? Because iskish kodesh lemikdash. Because we are comparing sacrificial food regard it also to the temple. Now, it would be so nice if I brought the pasuk here. What is going on over here? What happened here? What the half of my hand? Did it just flip a page on me? Yeah, it just flipped a page on me here. I don't know how that happened. Okay, again. I'm sorry. Okay. In that pasuk, now let's look in this pasuk that we learned that you can't touch. So let's look at it. This exposition is elaborated in the brisa below. In brief, the verse combines this pasuk we've been talking about. There's two prohibitions connected to each other. It says she shall not touch any sacred food. That's the pasuk we've been dealing with. But now look at the very next clause. Yeah. And she shall not enter the temple. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what do we know about entering the temple? What's the punishment? In Tamei state.
Kares.
For sure. Everybody agrees with that. There's no question. So, how does the pasuk sing? You're using one sentence and combining two clauses. She shall not do A and B. She shall not touch any sacred food. She shall not enter the temple. Now, it's not singing good. Why? Because entering the temple is kares. What is touching food? Just lashes. Right? Well, by the fact that the Torah put the two together in so close proximity, must want to compare one to the other. Now, we know for sure that when you enter the temple, you get kares. You get kares. It says later on, the punishment is kares. Here's just the lav. Here's just the warnings. You shall not touch any sacred food. You shall not enter the temple. Now, we know entering the temple gets kares. So if it gets kares, so by juxtaposing the prohibition regarding sacred food with the prohibition regarding the temple, the Torah teaches through the exegetical device of Hekesh. Remember, that's the critical point. An equivalency between them. There's got to be some equivalency, which Reish Lakish employs to identify the prohibition regarding sacred food as follows. Just as there is kares for the prohibition against entering the temple, that's the second clause, the first clause has to carry kares too. So too must there be kares for the prohibition regarding sacred food that the Torah is talking about. But that can't be. But a tamei person who touches sacrificial food is not liable to kares. There's no kares for that. So what do you have to say? Perforce, the phrase, she shall not touch, is understood as she shall not eat. It warns against eating sacrificial food while tamei, an act that is indeed punishable with kares. As we see later on, it says right over here, v'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim, you get kares. So what are we looking for? We're looking for the lav. Remember the whole question. Remember what was our whole question?
There's a warning.
Our whole question is, where do we know the warning for eating kares, for eating kachim in a tame state? We're just looking for a warning. That's all we're looking for is a warning. So we don't have it, according to Reish Lakish. There is no warning. So he says, well, there's got to be a warning somewhere. So he's going to make the following hekesh, just like when it says thou shalt not touch kachim, and you shall not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So we're making a hekesh. We didn't have to put those two clauses next to each other. We could have had it in two separate psukim. The fact that God wrote them together means there's got to be a similarity between the two of them. Well, what could the possible similarity be? It can't be in punishments, because touching is just going to be a lav. You get lashed, maybe. But entering is kares. So what's going to be the similarity? So the only similarity is telling us that this is warning us not to eat when you're tamei, because we already know you have a kares punishment. We're just looking for the warning. That's all we're looking for. We're not punishing. We're just looking for the warning. We don't see a warning. So you got to say it's also means to say if you're going to eat it. But so why did it say touching? Because it also wants you to learn touching. That touching also you're not allowed to, and you'll get lashed.
Why didn't you say and don't eat it instead of going?
The Torah writes as little words as possible.
But we don't need the going to the
business. No, if you write eating, then how do I know if you touch you get lashed?
Right.
Remember, Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get lashed for touching. How am I going to know you get lashed for touching? There's nowhere does it say that. Well, it does. It says you can't touch it.
Okay.
You can't touch it. But if it says you can't touch it, then what's the comparison to entering the temple?
Oh, yeah.
Why did God juxtapose it? So he juxtaposed it to say we're going to have a double meaning when it says thou shalt not touch. When your tummy, thou shalt not touch, is the simple meaning, thou shalt not touch. But by putting it next to the warning of not to enter the temple, which clearly is a kores punishment. So we're meant to understand that when it says thou shalt not touch, it also means thou shalt not eat, because eating we already know gets kores. And that's how you know you have a warning not to touch and not to eat. By eating, we already have another place in the Torah that says you get kares for it. Touching, nowhere does it say a punishment for touching. So therefore, what do we know? Since it says thou shalt not, every thou shalt not that doesn't have any other punishment comes with lashes. You want me to say that again? Or is that
no necessary?
Right?
I guess Hashem wanted us to...
Thus, let's just look at Bible. Thus, the primary thrust of the verse is to prohibit the consumption of sacrificial food while tamei. However, by expressing the prohibition in terms of touching, the Torah teaches another prohibition as well, that a tamei person is forbidden to touch sacrificial food.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started the game 2 days ago, where's the source that a tamei person will get lashed for eating kachim? Reish Lakish said, from this pasuk, thou shalt not touch. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's talking about truma, that's not talking about kachim. Well, fine. But Reish Lakish said, no, it's talking eating. And we asked, what do you mean? It says touching. And now it's reinforced, because later on he says, oh, we learned you get lashed for touching, because it says thou shalt not touch. How do you learn two things? So now we're going to come back to step one. Well, you know why? Because since the next clause says you shall not enter when you're tummy, and we know that comes with a punishment of kares. So now by hekesh, we got to say, well, the first one's got to have some kind of similarity to it. So although it says touching, it's to be understood also eating, which also, and therefore we have the warning for kares. We already know you're getting punished for kares, because the Torah somewhere else says, if you eat kachujama, you get kares. So all we're looking for is a warning. That's all we're looking for. So we're going to say, thou shalt not eat. Eat is the basic understanding, and through the hekesh we put a second layer of understanding, which means you also cannot eat it, and that's the warning for that. Okay? Now, it isn't any more difficult than Rabbi Yochanan's, because he used a hekesh also from a different pasuk.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan, remember, had to use a pasuk, a hekesh from a different pasuk. Mm-hmm. They didn't say it outwardly either. So both of them were forced to find some kind of way to include that.
Can you say that whenever you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you enter in order to eat kachim?
No. Because when you bring a korban chatas, you don't eat anything. Going in doesn't always mean you're going to eat. Whenever you brought a korban chatas, you didn't eat any of that korban chatas. When you brought a korban asham, you didn't eat the korban. When you brought a korban ola, you didn't bring a korban ola. Only a shlamim. So that's the only time you ate anything. Otherwise, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. But that's an intelligent guess. But the problem is it doesn't work. But otherwise, it was a good lundus.
It's nice, but it's not correct.
That's right. Okay, now the Gemara is going to do one more crack at the can. We're going to say one more. Okay, so now we're okay. So now what does Reish Lakish say? It says, the woman whose tummy, she cannot touch Kodesh. Now we have two meanings. The simple meaning, you shall not touch. That's the prohibition for touching. Although there's no punishment mentioned, and therefore you're only going to get lashed, because it's a regular lav. Right? No, for touching Kodesh, you'll get lashed according to Reish Lakish because it's a lav, no. And we're going to also say it also means not to eat because of the hekesh to walking in, which does have kares. At least we have the warning that you can't eat because we already know the punishment of kares.
All right, one second.
So we've learned two things from this one clause. We're okay with that so far. The Gemara is at least.
Why can't we go the other way and say, because you touch, you're also going to get the death penalty because of this particular verse?
Because you have no... Torah does not say the punishment anywhere. You cannot... It says like this. You shall not touch kachim. And you shall not enter the temple in a state of tumah. No, it doesn't say that. It just says you shall not enter the temple in this pasuk. Now, we go somewhere else in the Torah. Somewhere else says, if you walk in the base of tumah, you get kares.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about touching.
Why can't you make
it? No, you can't do that. It's not about touching. It does say eating gets kares. It does say eating gets kares. So let's go, we have what it says and what it doesn't. I understand what you're trying to do, but I'll tell you why you can't do that. I hear what you're asking. We already know you're going to get kares for eating kachim in a tummy state.
Yes.
We know that. Now the question is, I have to find a warning somewhere. I can't give kares without a warning.
What was this warning when you say we know that you're going to get kares for eating?
I don't have it. So we have to find one.
Sure.
So we find it by making a hekesh to entering the Beis HaMikdash, where it says, thou shalt not enter, and we know somewhere else you get kares.
This is the only place we can do that.
It's the only place. And therefore, when it says, thou shalt not touch, we have to understand, thou shalt not touch, besides meaning touching, means that you can eat. Because eating, we have a pasuk that says you're going to get kares. But there's no pasuk that says any punishment by touching. There's no, you go to the altar, it doesn't say any punishment. The only thing you have, a pasuk says, thou shalt not touch. Well, if it says thou shalt not touch, I'm going to lash you for it.
Right.
You want to say give him kares for touching.
Because,
I can't do that because I don't have a pasuk that says you get. Even if you'd like to say that, I can't because there's no pasuk that says you get kares for it. If I want to find a warning for something that I already know has kares, such as eating, okay, I'll extract a warning from that. But you're not going to go so far as to give kares where the Torah didn't even say you get kares. Right? That's much of a further stretch. To look for a warning is much less of a stretch than to look for a punishment that's not there. Right?
We just did it here.
No, we didn't. Wow. Every punishment, when there's a lav, we always know, whenever there's just a lav shalt not, it always has lashes. You know, they already wrote in one place, whenever you transgress a lav, you always get lashes. So once you're a lav, you don't have to say it every place. We have a default. The Torah specifically said, wherever there's a thou shalt not, you will get lashed, and we don't have to say it again. So now it says, thou shalt not touch. Well, obviously, it means you're going to get lashed. Yeah, but where's the warning for eating? I know eating gets kares, because the Torah says eating gets kares. I have to find a warning. So the warning we'll have to say is by the connection to that pasuk.
I'm just going to say that. I know we talked when this first started this about eating is not touching. But it seems to me it's a whole lot simpler to explain that eating is close enough to touching that you could say touching is eating, and you don't have to go through this long hekesh and convoluted explanation. If you just say it's not exactly the same as eating, but it's close enough to eating touching, so therefore you can say it.
So what if I only touch and don't eat?
Yeah. What do you want for touching?
We're extrapolating touching and the next clause. To say it includes eating as well, because the punishment
is kares by entering the base of meat.
So I'm saying, I understand all that, it makes a lot of good sense, I just think it's convoluted, where you could just say, it says touching, but really when you're eating, you're sort of touching it too, so therefore, the warning applies as touching and eating.
Should be included.
Simple.
One second, if I didn't connect it to kares, if I didn't connect it to the second half of the kares, you want to say touching is close enough to eating. How do I know you'd get, what do you get for touching? It says thou shalt not touch.
Yeah.
Where's the warning not to eat?
In the warning for touching.
But touching only comes with lashes.
And eating comes with kares.
No, but then there's a specific pasuk that says you get lashes.
So from where can I say that it means I can't eat it? Maybe I'm only wanted to touch it. That's why you need the hekesh. Touching is one. You're looking from, whenever I eat, I have to touch. Yeah, but whenever I touch, I don't have to eat.
And you can eat it without
touching. You can't push the pus and say touching means eating. Because a million people touch and never eat.
But if you're warned about touching.
So therefore,
So if you eat it, you can say eating is like touching.
It's, where do you get that from? Where are you getting that from? Where are you pulling that out of the hat from? Eating is not like touching. Eating is not like touching. Because eating gets kares and touching gets only lashed. You can't just pull it out of your hat out of logic.
No, but when you if it touches your lips.
That's not called touching. That is not halachic touching.
How you turn off a light switch with your lips.
That's not called touching. Eating is ingesting.
Yeah.
Ingesting. And you could transgress ingesting without touching. That's for sure. That's right. What right. Person's sick. Person's sick and you're being fed. You're being fed. Eating is not touching. It's two separate things. Okay. Let's move on. Nagmar has one last thing. It says, okay, so now you tell me you're learning two things from not touching. Well, we're going to share another brisa with another machlokas, and you're going to learn a third thing from this same pasuk. Where are you going to get a third thing from? It's the same questions before, but we answered the first question. You can learn two things from the one pasuk. Now we're going to have a third thing. And then Gemara asks, where are you getting this from? And it's also from the same pasuk. Vakati lohachir, you still maintain that you're going to learn from thou shalt not touch, and now it's telling touching is the warning and you get lashed, eating is the warning you get kares, but we see he uses the same pasuk to teach us a third halacha. Ha'umi ba'ale, he uses this pasuk, letame sha'achal basar, person who eats kachim, kodesh, lifnei zrikas damim, before the blood has been sprinkled of the korban. Remember, there are steps to what's going on. The person, let's say the guy's going to want to eat the kachim. Okay, let's say it's only going to be a korban shlomim. I mean, really, it could be anything, but if he violates. But let's just say it's a shlomim. The guy brings a shlomim, brings it to the kohen. Kohen slaughters it, receives the blood, takes the blood. Now, as soon as you slaughter the animal, are you allowed to eat that animal?
No.
That animal, you cannot eat it yet. No. It's got to be processed. So he slaughters it. Fine. Can I eat it up? No. We collect the blood. Can I eat it out? No. We bring it to the Mizbeach. Can I eat it now? No. The blood now is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Now, you can now eat that animal. That's the rule. Okay, so now what do we...
can eat it?
A regular Yisrael. Regular Yisrael. Can eat it? Or a coin. Forget about it. It could be a coin too.
Yeah.
A coin of Kormachatis. Not only Yisrael. Any Korban. The prohibition of a tummy person eating kachim applies to a Yisrael coin. You can't, a tummy person can't eat kachim.
Okay.
Now, here's the question. Does this prohibition apply if you eat it before the blood was sprinkled and only then is the animal edible? In other words, there's a separate prohibition, a separate one. We're not going to go there. There's a separate prohibition that you can't eat the animal until it's sprinkled. If you eat the animal before it's sprinkled, you already get a lav. You can't eat the animal before God gets the animal. Remember, God's eating, so to speak, is the sprinkling of the blood. That's like, God got his portion. You don't eat before God eats, as it were. Okay, so there's a separate lav. You can't eat the animal before it's sprinkled. Fine. I can't eat a holy meat till if I'm tummy. Right. Another issue. But what about, so normally we'd figure, well, when are you eating it? After the blood's been sprinkled, now you eat it. Now we know you're going to get punished for that. You're going to get punished for that. You're going to get, right? So now the question is, what if I'm tummy and I eat the meat before the blood's sprinkled. Been sprinkled? Maybe the animal's not holy enough for me to get the punishment or not. Maybe only at a certain state do you get it or not. That's a debate. That's a machlokes. Do we say it's only when it really is really holy, meaning to say that the blood's been sprinkled, and there's all kinds of differences. Remember in Kutchek Kalim, if you recall, remember Kutchek Kalim, we said there's a difference before and after sprinkling that still belongs to you.
Yes.
By other animals, you can say it belongs to God right away. When I'm bringing a shlomim, I say, I want this to be a shlomim. Who does it belong? It still belongs to me.
Yes.
Belongs to me.
Until after the
even if I've designated, still belongs to me. Once we sprinkle it, oh, now I'm allowed to eat it. But now, right? So now maybe the only prohibition of eating kachim when you're tummy is only after the blood sprinkled and not before. Because it hasn't been processed enough. That's a machlokas. There's a machlokas. One person says yes, one person says no. Okay, so where would your sources be? I don't want to get into the logic of the, but we said it's a machlokas. So if whatever you're going to say, you need a biblical source. So that's, so he needs to teach us that if you eat kachem meat before the blood is sprinkled, Reish Lakish says you get lashed. The Ema we learn in a brisa, Tamei she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrikas damim, the Tamei person ate the holy meat before the blood was sprinkled. Reish Lakish, that's how Reish Lakish says you get lashed. That means he says there's a warning somewhere for that. There's a warning for that. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Einelo, so he doesn't get lashed. Reish Lakish Omer Loka, Reish Lakish says you get lashed, you know why? He takes the same pasuk we've been doing all along. Bechal kodesh lo tiga, all holy you don't touch. Now already know he learns touching means eating already. But now you've added another, you're learning a third thing. You can't even eat it before the blood is sprinkled. That's the question. Well, how are you getting that third thing now? You only had two things to learn, right? And he says, you know why? Because it says all holy things. All holy things, which means loshna doesn't matter. Lifnei srika, before the blood sprinkle. Loshna lachas, it doesn't matter after the blood sprinkle. Any holy things you cannot touch. Thus, one who consumes sacrificial food before the blood is thrown has transgressed the prohibition of she shall not touch sacred food. Therefore, he receives malchus. Of course, meat from an offering whose blood has not yet been thrown is forbidden even to those who are not tummy. Gomer simply means that one who eats it while tummy training, that's a second prohibition as well. Fine, so that's what he learns from that pasuk. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you don't know anything from that. He says, ain't a loka. You know why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says that pasuk is talking about truma. It's not talking about kachim. He's consistent all along, right? Rabbi Yochanan let time a. Rabbi Yochanan's very reason. The Omar Kra, the pasuk says, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't learn that. Because he has a different pasuk, he learns it to Omar Kra Tum Aso Tum Aso. He says there's a Xeris Shava when it says his tuma. Okay? When it says his tuma is on him. Okay, it's a little bit off topic here. This Xeris Shava establishes an analogy between the prohibition for a tummy person to eat sacrificial food and the prohibition for a tummy person to enter the temple. He says there's a comparison because it says tumah. Remember, we had that drush. We had that drush before. Tumasa, Xerah Shava, eating tummy person eating sacrificial food, and a person walking tummy into the base. I mean, he says there's a commonality between them, right? And when it says that v'chiksiv tumasa, when it says tumaso, when is that speaking? La'achar zrika. Who dichsiv? That tumaso is written for after the blood is sprinkled. So therefore, we compare one to the other, and therefore you can't say it applies to that pasuk. So the phrase his tumah appears with regard to a tummy who eats sacrificial food in the verse that teaches the punishment for such consumption. And the person will eat meat from the shlamim offering that is for Hashem, while his tumah is upon him, he will cut off from his people. But it says tumaso love. The meat of which the verse speaks is from an offering whose blood has already been thrown against the altar. That's clearly that pasuk. An offering, he's saying that. He's going to say, an offering whose blood has not yet been thrown is not included in the verse. The proof is in the verse immediately preceding this one, which states regarding shlamim, kol tahar yochal basar. Anyone who is tar may eat the meat. Mm-hmm. This verse serves as a preface to the next one. It tells us that Kore's penalty is limited to a tummy who consumes meat that may be eaten by a tahar. Now, when can a tahar eat? Only once the blood's been sprinkled. It says a tar person can eat it. Well, when can a tar person eat it? When the blood's sprinkled. Then it says a tummy guy can't eat it. Must be only when it's been sprinkled. That's how he learns it. Anyway, so that's how Rabbi Yochanan learns you don't get kares, you don't get lashed. But Rabbi Lakish said you do get lashed. So how can you learn three things from this pasuk? So he says from the extra word mibakol, he learns this extra part from even before the sprinkling, mibakol kodesh. Not from the word touching. Why does he have to say mibakol kodesh? From any sacred food, just say bakodesh. Sacrificial food. Why say all sacrificial food? So therefore, that prohibition has not been thrown is derived from the inclusionary term any sacred food. The verse's primary thrust, however, is to prohibit a tummy person from eating sacrificial meat after the blood's been applied. That's the pashup shot. You can't eat kachim. But it could have said, look, the pashup shall not touch sacred food. Why did you say any sacred food? Any will include even before this Rika Saddam. So it comes out in conclusion. Reish Lakish learns three things from this pasuk. Number one, you can't touch holy foods because the Torah says you can't touch it.
Clear.
Number two, you can't eat it because it's next to the next pasuk that says you can't enter, which has kares. So this has to have some kind of kares warning. Right. So it's a warning not to eat. That's where you see the warning not to eat. And the warning not to eat before the blood sprinkle is from any sacred food. And therefore you have three laws from one pasuk according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't learn nothing from that pasuk. It's talking about truma and even other things it wouldn't talk about before sprinkling, but for the heckish that he learns. All that's left to do is to bring a brisa that supports Reish Lakish, which we'll do tomorrow, which will go very fast and easy. It should take more than 3 minutes. And then we go on to the next sugya.